Welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live 5 days a week right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And we ensure on this network that you, well, basically there's actually only really one rule: have fun. And we do, invariably. My very special guest today is Brandon Turbville. He has two websites, activistpost.com and brandonturbville.com. Welcome to the program, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, Vinnie. Thanks for having me on.
Now, for those who may be unfamiliar with you, and I think that kind of includes myself as well, why don't you just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about, you know, what you do?
Yeah, sure. I'm a staff writer at activistpost.com, and I've been a staff writer there for about 2 years. And again, I also have a backup blog, which is brandonturbeville.blogspot.com. I'm author of 4 books, one dealing with Codex Alimentarius, one dealing with solutions, one called 7 Real Conspiracies, where I down the seven different conspiracies that are usually called conspiracy theories, but are actually quite documentable, if that's a word. And it's broken down very in a very simple manner, very short manner, concise, the average person who may not have come into contact with this information before. And I'm also a host of a radio show, which is an hour a week on UCY.TV. It's called Truth on the Track. So I wear many hats, or at least 3 hats. It's not really many, but it's 3 hats.
You said UCY. What does UCY stand for?
You know what? I really don't know. I kind of signed on. I have an hour a week for the show, and that's one of the things I never asked. So,
because I recall, I think last night I was showing my friend Dan a documentary called Sugar, the Bitter Truth, doing a presentation at the University of California. And they had, I think it might have been UCY-TV, I think that was producing it, or something of that nature. You're not in the University of Cali, are you?
No, here in South Carolina, other side of the country.
Totally obscure connection. Never mind. Moving on.
Well, you explained it better than I did.
Well, in either case, you've written 4 books. How old are you, mate?
I'm 29.
Wow! That's a young author. Are you planning to, like, get like about 50 books done by the time you cark it, much later on, assuming the New World Order doesn't bust through your door and take you away to a FEMA camp?
Yeah, well, I'm kind of expecting the FEMA camp first, but, you know, if you have time to run out of the camp, then I don't think that 50 books is too much to expect.
Like a Noam Chomsky in the making type thing, without the propagandistic tendencies, perhaps.
Yes, a Noam Chomsky. That's you have a lot of time in those FEMA camps, I hear. So before they exterminate you, of course. So I figure I'll take my little pencil and paper and chug out 10, 12 books, you know, and whatever time I have left.
You see me, I'm probably going to just practice my hand moniker, you know, like...
Well, maybe we could collaborate. If we're in the same FEMA camp, which besides the planet, I don't think we will be.
Hey, and I always thought that would be an interesting phenomenon, is if all the truthers got rounded up and then they get put in a FEMA camp. You know, there's one thing you don't want to do is put a whole bunch of individualists together, because they will not be caged for long. They will collaborate and they will figure a way to get to bring those double fences down.
Yeah, it would be nice to see how long take before the escape routes and the revolts started taking place. You know, a camp full of people who are awake actually doesn't seem too bad. I'm kind of making the FEMA camp sound pretty good right now.
And that was also another element that I'd like to do. You know, what if we made our own, like a summer camp, and we just called it Camp FEMA, where we invited all the truthers and the truther kids and things like that. You know, you had camp counselors and all of that sort of stuff, and you'd abseil off World Trade Center replicas or go kayaking down contaminated streams or something like that. You know, just good old-fashioned fun.
Yeah, we'd have plenty to talk about as we did all those things. So,
yeah,
all around for a campfire. Let's get this started.
Equipment around, yeah. All right, I'm sorry. I'm very off topic today because I only woke up about maybe 25 minutes ago. Had a very late night answering about 500 emails or something like that long into the night. So you'll excuse me if I'm not, you know, quite on top of my game today. Now, in terms of importance, you've written one book about Codex Alimentarius, and in my opinion, considered as it is, there's two things that really do affect everybody, and they affect everybody already, and will quite likely affect everybody much more in the future unless they're stopped. One being Codex Alimentarius, and the other being Agenda 21. One is the desire to control all life, and the other one is the desire to control all food, which basically winds up controlling all life and all the health products and things of that nature. And I was wondering what kind of made you aware of these things, because they don't talk about Codex Alimentarius and Agenda 21 on TV. Where did you first start hearing about this information?
Well, I found out about Codex because I was searching the internet. It was not too long after I woke up to many of the other things that are going on in the world, and I started seeing these articles come up saying that Codex Alimentarius would be implemented on December 31st, 2009, and on January 1st, 2010, the sky would fall and nobody would have any access to vitamin or mineral supplements the world. So it was of great concern to me, because at the time I was very interested in vitamin and mineral supplements for personal reasons. And I started to research it to figure out what exactly was going on. At the time, I was just to write articles, and I figured that I would do some research and write an article about it, and quickly found out that you couldn't just write one article about Codex Alimentarius with disinformation out there, and I ended up writing an entire book on it. So that's how I became aware of it. Needless to say, the
I'm sorry. Your connection's breaking up pretty significantly there. If you could just quickly click off your webcam, it should probably improve the connection there significantly. Sorry about that, folks.
Okay.
We should have done that earlier. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, do I need to go back over that? Or?
No, yes, please.
Okay, well, so when I put this book together, again, the December 31st, 2009 thing that was repeated, that the sky would fall on December 31st, obviously it didn't come to fruition the world over. But to some extent, that was true. It wasn't just hype. On December 31st, 2009, the European Union Food Supplements Directive went into full effect in the European Union, which did many of the things that the Codex opponents were talking about to begin with, which was vastly reducing the amount of nutrition in vitamin and mineral supplements, completely removing many of those supplements off of the market totally. So this did happen in Europe. So if anybody wants to get an idea of what the Codex guidelines as they're implemented would look like, then look at Europe, look at the European Union Food Supplements Direct. Now, where the hype, again, I said it didn't happen the world over, but where some of the hype was not entirely a fabrication is the fact that because Codex is the standard-setting organization for the World Trade Organization, then technically the European Union or any other Codex-compliant nation could sue a nation that's not Codex compliant under the WTO trade dispute settlement mechanism for unfair trade practices. Now, WTO doesn't fine countries, to my knowledge, directly. But what they can allow is that they can allow another country to sue and gain money from the non-Codex compliant country. So it's essentially it's fine by default. So the European Union, to give you an example, would look like could sue the United States for unfair trade practices centering around export vitamin and mineral supplements, because our vitamin and mineral supplements have such higher levels of nutrition than the European Union supplements, simply because of the food supplements directive. So they could sue the United States via the WTO. And once they did that, the United States would have to pay out enormous sums of money. Now, could go, this go on exponentially if they sued Canada, Mexico, you know, Bolivia, whatever other nation under the WTO.
See, I can appreciate the irony, because it's usually the Americans who sue people for everything.
Yeah, it is ironic, isn't it? But don't worry, we're getting tonight, and we'll be suing people left and right before you know it.
Speaking of left and right, how long does it take to collapse that paradigm? And also, because the United Nations, I think, I don't know about you, but I see the United Nations just in itself as the sort of this tyrannical apparatus for world government. Yet it enjoys such an air of high esteem around the world. You know what I mean? Like, I remember I was talking with one of my friends in university, and she's real, real bright girl, and she's studying to be a doctor and a lawyer at the same time. She's that smart. And she wanted to, you know, her greatest dream was to go and work for the United Nations and help out the world and stuff like that. And I had no idea what the United Nations really was until much, much later. So if they can fool the most educated and most dedicated to helping humanity into enslaving it, wow, what chance do we stand to expose them before they actually manage to get these apparatus in place?
Well, that's a major problem, but of course the UN receives a lot of its support from the university system to begin with. The university system is what promotes the UN. That's where you recruit many of your worker bees through the United Nations, is the university system. So that's to be expected. It's unfortunate, but that's to be expected. The UN has always reported, I'm sorry for the traffic sounds if you can hear that, I'm outside. The UN is always reported as if it's bringing food to the hungry, you know, and they do that sometimes. But generally speaking, the food that they bring is loaded with strings, which are attached, loaded with opportunities for debt, military conquest, and sort of thing. So for a long time, I thought the United Nations was a great thing myself, because I mean, they only bring food to the hungry, right? But if you look at their propaganda, this is one of the things you could point out. Anybody who's health conscious in any way, who may not appreciate genetically modified foods, is that the United Nations is a big supporter of GMOs, because they promote GMOs as a way to increase production, increase the food supply for third world countries. And for especially Africa. Now, we know that genetically modified foods, they don't increase food productivity at all. In fact, they decrease food productivity. And everywhere it's been tried, genetically modified foods have a lower yield. That happened in India. So that's something you could point out to anybody if they're conscious of genetically modified foods. You can look at the other apparati of the United Nations, which I consider the IMF and the World Bank all part of this same system, world government system. The IMF, of course, which has a track record of 0% success the world over when it comes to economics. They're only successful if you consider implementing austerity programs as a success. So I would point out the failures of the IMF, really the failures of the UN, and everything that they've tried in their stated goals.
Well, you know, that's absolutely true. And I even was lucky enough to have Branko Milanovic, who's the lead research economist for the World Bank, I believe. And I asked him point blank, does privatization actually help countries in order to, you know, get them economically independent in any way, shape or form? And he's like, no, I don't believe so. And what was interesting is that I reported that to a debate that was going on here in New Zealand between people who wanted to, I think the debate was over whether or not we wanted to ban Chinese ownership or not ban Chinese ownership. And the argument from both sides was, well, it doesn't matter whether or not we ban it or not ban it, because we're all going to have free trade and privatization, which is all good. You know, like the arguments are so wrong. And we'll reconnect you via phone over the break, Brandon. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My very special guest is Brandon Turnbull, and we're doing a little experiment here because his Skype connection is pretty awful, but his webcam is working. We've got him on cell phone, and we've got his Skype webcam working and the Skype muted. So it's a little bit of a technology bundle going on here. Brandon, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry about the poor connection here, but
yeah, it still sounds like a bit of a poor connection. Have you actually muted your Skype microphone?
Yeah, I actually have had it removed from the computer.
Okay, because it's still a little bit choppy there. Oh well, we'll see how we go. Anyway, what were we talking about before we were coming on to the break? It was about how the UN seems to impoverish nations, and because of it's tied in with the IMF and the World Bank and the WTO, which are traditionally, as far as I've seen, whenever anybody says the word free trade, it simply translates to me as slave trade. Whenever anybody says the word security, it translates for me as tyranny. And essentially, that's what the UN really does most of the time. They attempt to ensure security and free trade. Brandon, are you there? Brandon? I can't hear you, man. You can speak through your cell phone. AFR, we seem to be having problems with Brandon's cell phone there. Could you see what's going on? Please, you know, for the love of Norwegian cheese, perhaps. Because this is embarrassing. Sorry about this. Okay, you're back on the Skype there.
Yeah, maybe this will work.
Okay, it's working all right. I mean, technical issues, folks. It's our fault. All of our faults, really. It's not your fault, though. Okay, so anyway, did you hear what I said about the UN and the WTO and everything? It was button phone is good. Is the phone still connected there, Brandon? Is it picked up? I can't hear you at all. Cannot hear you at all. Apparently the phone was working good, but it was muted or something. The studio's trying to tell me that they're calling you back on that one. So just pick up that phone there when it rings. So sorry about this, folks. It happens. Especially when you're trying to do things on a shoestring budget, which reminds me, let's just take this opportunity to plug the VinnieEastwoodShow.com subscription service, shall we? Because I've been meaning to do it all week, and I also want to plug the chemtrail protest that's happening tomorrow in New Zealand. So if you're in Auckland tomorrow on the 20th of January, what we'd like for you to do is come down and meet us at Aotea Square at 11 a.m. So come down and meet us, Aotea Square, at 11 a.m. We're going to be marching down the street all the way down to the central transport hub of Britomart. We're going to have the banners, we're going to have the megaphones, we're going to have the gas masks, we're going to have the military garb and all of that kind of stuff. It's going to be a really nice, fabulous, friendly, yet incredibly scary chemtrail protest, and I'm sure there will be nice, lots of very lovely police officers to say hello to us and pepper spray us for no reason as well. And also, I wanted to encourage people to subscribe to the show. If you support what I'm doing, bringing on people like Brandon, you know, activists from all over the world who write books or host radio shows or do things basically essentially for the good of humanity. Freedom isn't free, folks. It really, really isn't. And I need your financial support. And I'm not. And need is not a strong enough word. Desperation is more of akin to it, right? I need people to go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com right now and click the subscribe button. Used to be you could only subscribe for $5 a month or $10 or $20 a month, and I've reduced that, and we'll give you access to commercial-free archives, both audio and video. And there are hour one, hour two, the whole show as well as a short clip that are all put in there commercial free for you if you're a subscriber to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com for as little as now $1 a month. Okay, $1 a month. And that will save you, if you're listening to the archives, approximately a half hour a day of listening time, presuming you listen to the show the whole way through, and you also have the choice of listening to either hour one or hour two. Like if you like one of the guests that we have on an hour and not the other, it gives you that freedom. It gives you that option. And I put an extra lot of work into ensuring that page is available for people, because I've been speaking to a lot of mates lately who listen to the archives at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and at AmericanFreedomRadio.com who don't listen to the ads. Okay, you're simply sitting there and you're skipping through them for whatever period of time, and essentially. If you're going to just skip the ads anyway, why not give us a buck a month and I'll skip the ads for you, save you the hassle, you know, save that repetitive strain syndrome on your wrist, y'all. Please go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, click on the subscribe button, $1, $2, $3, $4, $5, $10, $20, whatever you can spare per month, something regular, so that I have a base income so that I can keep paying my bills and keep producing the show, keep doing all the videos, and basically be able to go to protests like what's happening on that kind of thing. Because without the subscriptions and donations thus far, I literally wouldn't be able to afford the gas to get down there to lead the protest. So thank you very much for those who've done so already. Brandon, I apologize for that ruthless, shameless self-promotion. But, you know, we're all broke for some reason or another. Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we all are broke. That's why I'm sitting outside a coffee shop, because I can't afford adequate internet access, you know. So it's not a money-making scheme that we've gotten into here.
Mm-hmm. It certainly isn't. And if we were intelligent men doing this as a money-making scheme, we must be frickin' retarded.
We must be. We should get into a different business.
I don't know about you, man, but I can't. You know, I was a top salesman, 6 months top of the boards. You know, nobody could touch me, making a huge coin. And the fact of the matter is, I was working for sociopathic scum who didn't give a frack about me. I was working with my colleagues who were vacuous, pathetic trash who didn't give a frack about anything. And I can't do that anymore. That's the reason I'm doing this. Not because I have to, not because anybody's forcing me, but because I really, really fear the alternative. I can't go back to being a slave.
Yeah, once you wake up, you can't go back to sleep. You can't unknow something. You might be able to go back and involve yourself with the system for a while, but you're always going to know the truth of behind what you're doing, and it's just not a way I can live, you know, to ignore the things that are going on around me. And so you're right. I mean, the amount of effort that goes into the things that we do, it's not just a hobby. This is not, you know, building model ships and putting them in bottles. This is not something we do on our off time. This is, you know, at least for me, this is what I do with my life, and everything else is, you know, the day jobs or anything else would be the hobby that pays the bills. So.
I have this fear that, I wouldn't say fear. Actually, it's more of a hope that one day, instead of damaging the world and being paid huge quantities of cash for it, you could save the world and earn enough to live comfortably. That is the paradigm that I seek to change. Why shouldn't people be able to earn a living doing the right thing? It seems that only the people who are doing the vastly wrong thing are the richest people around. And I think it's all through fraud.
Well, they created the system. So they would create the system to suit themselves, and they would create a system where being a sociopath is putting you on the easy road to making money. I mean, the system is based on fraud. The system is based on ripping off everyone underneath you and around you. So, again, they created the system, so that's why they rise to the top of it. If you know the rules of the system that you created, then you can dominate that system and take advantage of everybody else below you.
You know, the only way to win a rigged game? To cheat.
Exactly. As Jesse Ventura said, if you can't win, cheat. He said that in his wrestling days. Not before I ruin his career.
Hey man, well, I don't know if it's this is another thing that I wanted to know as well, is the hero complex that we have. You know, there've been people that woke me up that I thought were great and would never tell a lie and stuff like that, and get disillusioned from it to the point, in fact, which I don't have any heroes anymore. I had to kind of let that complex go. Let the complex that there's going to be somebody to save me, there's going to be somebody to inform me, there's going to be somebody to make me free. And it occurred to me that that person doesn't exist outside of myself. That person is myself. I have to free myself. I have to enlighten myself. I have to build things that really matter and work. And I have to try and pass on whatever skill, talent, knowledge, or goodness on to other people, because you can't rely on other people to do it for you.
Right, and it's also freeing because you're no longer living vicariously through somebody else. You're no longer depending on somebody else for a part of your own identity, because that's really what the hero complex is, right? You're looking for somebody else subconsciously. Looking for somebody else to provide you with the answers that you really have yourself, that you're able to find yourself. And you know, you can only go so far with one teacher. You know, the people that woke me up, you know, you appreciate what they've done and you wish them the best, but you've got to move on at some point and learn other things, and then eventually go out on your own. I mean, it's think for yourself. And as you said, you know, spread this knowledge out to other people and spread solutions out to other people. And hopefully you can guide them on their way as well.
Mm. Well, the knowledge I find of the New World Order apparatus is in many ways a great burden. And the way that you reduce a burden upon yourself is if you share the load with others. I know many people who don't really do anything to try and spread the knowledge or anything like that. They'll sit at home, they'll listen to this kind of talk radio, they'll watch these kind of documentaries. Maybe their partner isn't awake or something like that, and they withdraw from them. They suddenly lose an interest in their friends who just don't share their interests and withdraw ever so much more into their own little circle. And it's a terrible situation to live in. And I know what it feels like because I used to live like that. I used to try and tell everybody, you know, F off. I don't care about, going out to a bar on the weekend or anything like that. I want to watch a documentary about how 9/11 was an inside job. See ya. And I quickly found myself alone and really, really angry that I wasn't able to fricking talk with anybody.
Yeah, and if there's any slight ray of hope, is that I see that that's changing a little bit now. When I first woke up to the things that were going on, and I would say, you know, whether it was 9/11, the martial law situation, the FEMA camp situation, there was nobody to talk to. As you said, I mean, it was complete wilderness. And just a few years on, I mean, I went through this phase where I felt that, I had to tell everybody, like you were saying, I had to tell everybody all of this stuff. And initially, when you find this information, it makes so much sense. I mean, it's documented right there. You can pull up all the information that you need on the internet, relatively free. And why wouldn't anybody that you show this information to just automatically take it up? Why wouldn't they automatically go the same route that you went? And you quickly find out that it doesn't matter how much proof you have, how much you put in front of these people, how much you hold their hand and spoon feed them the information, that a lot of them just aren't going to pay it any attention. And some of the best and the brightest that I tried to show the information to, I was crushed when I realized that these people don't get it at all.
Hold on a sec, Brandon. We're coming to break now. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
The world we knew is gone. The conditions which framed and taught us our standards have gone with us.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. It's now the final segment of the first hour, our last chance to talk with Brandon Turbeville. Now, I'd like you just continue and finish your point that we were talking about over the break about the isolation and heroes, that kind of thing, if you remember your train of thought there.
Yeah, well, what I was saying is that when you first wake up and you try to spread all this information around and you can't find anybody, which was the case for me a few years ago, you couldn't find anybody to talk to. I had the benefit of having at least one friend that woke up at exactly the same time, but outside of that, outside the two of us, we had nobody to talk to. Most people don't even have a friend that they can compare notes with. But what I'm finding more and more is that there are more and more people who you run into who are awake. Here in rural South Carolina, I'm running into more and more people who they might not have heard of Brandon Turbeville or Vinnie Eastwood or David Icke, but they're intuitively picking up on some of the things that we're talking about, some of the things that we understand. They might not voice it in their circles because we're still in a vast minority here, but the fact is they are picking up on it on their own, without anybody coming to them and saying, here's a documentary, here's a book, here's some information. It's something that they're starting to question within themselves. And
this leads me to believe that there is something happening the world over where people are picking up on the things that we're talking about without necessarily having to hear us talk about them. So there is some room for hope in this whole situation, which I didn't feel that there was just a couple of years ago. In fact, I didn't feel that there was much hope. If you'd have talked to me 6 months ago, I didn't feel that there was much hope then, but now I do, and I'm seeing these things seeing these things happen wherever I go, that there are people who, again, are picking up on this without having the information spelled out in front of them.
It's kind of like the 100th monkey syndrome, or this 2012 shift sort of. I don't know whether or not to believe it. Like, a friend of mine told me the other day that the 2012 shift actually is happening, but only for those who are really sensitive to it. And I was just thinking about the placebo effect, right? You give a pill to somebody that's just made out of sugar and you tell them it's something else, and about 30% of people, that sugar pill will actually work because their mind makes it real. What if 30% of the people maybe believed that 2012 was actually going to shift something, was going to change them, was going to help them evolve to a higher level of consciousness, and then when it came, their belief actually made them start to evolve a little bit, you know? Well, for some reason, I've noticed my girlfriend and a couple of my friends, they're switched on a lot more in 2013 than they were in 2012. I don't know how to explain it. It might be because we're starting to reach that critical mass point now of mass awareness, that it becomes impossible to ignore the truth.
Yeah, and if it's a placebo effect, well, then I'll take it. Whatever makes it work, I'll take it. But yeah, like you just said, especially since the new year, I have started to notice more and more people picking up on things, whether it's on a spiritual level, physical level, political level, that they are picking up on it. Now, you might not be able to tell from looking at the current events that are happening as they're reported in the mainstream media or even in the alternative media. But when you really get into a conversation with people, person to person, and you talk to people on a one-on-one level, not all people, but a great many people, you can see this shift taking place. And, you know, it's about time.
About fracking time. I was also thinking about this as well. It's just shifting from the savior mentality, okay? Somebody's going to come down from the clouds, or aliens, or some sort of ethereal universe. I can see everything and now in living color where everything was black and white. Basically, that whole mentality of things will go good or things will go bad and nothing's within your control, I think is just sort of like a Quaker mentality, like it doesn't matter what you do. And I think if people really truly believe that it doesn't matter what they do, then they've simply abdicated all personal responsibility and all their choices. And not to mention, they've forgotten that they're a human being. And a human being, no matter how disadvantaged they may be, no matter how flawed we are incredibly powerful when we want to be.
Yeah, exactly. And the great thing about it is that, and I've been talking about this for some time, is that, you know, here in the alternative media, we talk about all the things that are happening to us on a daily basis. And it's important to know the things that have happened to us in the past so we know where we stand today. We need to know what's happening to us so we can so we can act accordingly. We need to know where we stand. But at some point, the time for talk is going to have to end, and it's going to have to be time for action. And it's going to have to be time for us to stop just repeating what's happening to us on a daily basis and reacting to what's happening to us and actually start responding and actually start doing things in a coordinated fashion. Because even if we educate a large number of people, you know, they say knowing is half the battle. Well, yeah, that might be true, but it's only half. And you're going to have to go on the offense at some point and get some wins in our column. And I wrote an article back before 2013, before the new year, and it's called It's Time for the Aware to Take Action. And it's all about building coalitions and actually doing something to change the situation that we're in instead of just talking about it. In that article, I give an example of the Syriza party in Greece, which is, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but it was a grouping of organizations and parties that on their own counted for nothing. They would get like 0.3% of the vote, or maybe 3% of the vote at most in the Greek election. They have their two major parties there, PASOK and New Democracy. But they came together with a united front, and they showed that they had demands. That was the most important thing. They had a program and demands that they all came together under. Most of these groups didn't even get along with each other to begin with, but they were able to maintain their independence and their individuality and use a set of demands to show a united front. The first election that they were involved in Greece, they got 40% of the vote. Now, they didn't sit around and complain with one another. They came up with a set of demands, and they showed a united front. And they didn't win the election, but they got 40% of it. That's pretty close. And now, as you can see, they were about to have new elections in Greece. Now the Greek, I think it's New Democracy that's in now, they're trying to back off of the austerity a little bit, just so Syriza can't win the Greek elections. Well, maybe Syriza won't win the Greek elections, but the fact is they've got a shot in because the Greek government is backing off on some of the austerity. It's not a winning shot, but it's a shot. We can do that here in the United States. We have an organization called the United Front Against Austerity that's trying to get off the ground here to form a resistance based on economic demands. We can do that in New Zealand, in any other country, right, to come up not with a set of complaints of we don't like this, we don't like that, but to come up with a set of demands. We don't like this, but this is what we want you to do about it. This is what we demand that you do, and if we win this revolutionary battle, for lack of a better term, this is what we will do. So I think that's important for us to not simply worry about what the enemy is doing, but to start worrying about what we're doing and what we plan to do and what we want to see as far as change goes, and then work toward that. So we don't have to constantly be against something. We can be for something.
You know, that reminds me of the Founding Fathers, who, for the most part, who for a large part, really hated each other. But you know what they hated worse? Being slaves. You know? And this is what I don't like about so many people in the truth movement. I'm not going to name names. I want to, but I'm not going to, because it would kind of make me a hypocrite. We criticize other people in the truth movement instead of criticizing the people who are actually our enemy. You know? Who's a bigger threat to you? Another truther or a jackboot thug in a fracking black uniform or a corrupt politician who passes legislation to warrantly wireless tap you? Who's your enemy? Figure it out. Stop fighting yourselves. Okay? A friend of mine in Australia, he was telling me that there's these big race riots. It's the Aboriginal people of Australia and the Pacific Island peoples that have immigrated to Australia having riots against each other, and the police are in the middle trying to stop them from hurting each other. And you know who's hurt the Aborigines? And you know who's arrested the Pacific Islanders and destroyed their communities and intimidated them more? The police! You know, don't attack the person who's actually suppressing you. Just attack each other for no reason. That was what I found really, really insane. Divide and conquer, personified. Let's stop doing it. Let's come together. Let's collaborate on the points that we agree. The points that we disagree, we can leave those for another time. Preferably a time when there's no longer an agenda to exterminate us because we've managed to beat it, because we came together, because the time was right. Brandon, thank you very much for coming on the show with me today, my son. You can check out his articles. Brandon, turbeville.com, turbeville, T-U-R-B-E-V-I-L-L-E, .com, and also activistpost.com. Thank you, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, we'll see you again sometime. And thank you very much for listening too, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be back next hour, assuredly. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. For those in New Zealand, if you wish to listen live, it's around about midday till 2 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. That's why we broadcast live from the future. We get to see the sun first. Kind of like the Egyptian pharaohs. Now, my very special guest is Will Spencer. His website is bodyelectrician.com. And I believe he's kind of like the dude that attacks your body with wire strippers like on the Saw movies or Hostel or something like that, isn't he? Will, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for asking me to be here, Vinny.
Could you tell us a little bit about what is bodyelectrician.com really about?
Well, our body is an electrical magnetic frequency generator. Everything we do is electricity. Our taste buds are electrical signals. Our ear listening ability is electrical signals. Our touch is electrical signals. Our digestion is electrical, believe it or not. Everything about us is electrical. And the new science of quantum physics and all this new epigenetics is all basically verifying this as well, as the shamans knew all this with their vibrational music and drumming and so forth. Even the new medicines with the machines and Rife machines and so forth. It's all about electricity.
I believe that. Sometimes when my missus looks at me with a certain look in her eyes, I feel electrified.
Or the fry pan, when it smacks you up the head, there's an electrical signal there too. It says, ow.
Yeah. In fact, I've been getting those ow electrical signals a lot more recently. Okay. So, now that we understand this, the Matrix is real, ladies and gentlemen. You can be used as a power generator to power the machine. In fact, have you done an experiment as such, trying to hook somebody up as sort of like a, a 9-volt Vinny battery to try and power something, like one of those little monkeys that claps a cymbal together or something?
No, our energy is a much lower, a subtle energy than that. We were in the store called Spencer's, which has a lot of novelty gifts, and there was this wire that was just hanging there from a speaker for you to plug your iPod into or whatever, so you can listen to music through these speakers. So I did a little experiment. I just grabbed that thing and I focused energy out through my hand and I made the speaker squeal. Everyone in the store could hear it. And some other people, I said, you go try it. And hardly anybody could. So a few other people got it to do it, but that's how much power we have. If your intention is to focus it out through your hand, you can actually make that happen. But the speakers are extremely sensitive to subtle energy. So it's not like you're going to power a machine, but you can actually register on the subtle energy scales. You can pick it up with I forget what they call them now, where you can actually pick up volts and amps and stuff like that.
A voltmeter or an ammeter?
Yeah, if you got a really sensitive one, you can actually pick up pushing it on different parts of your body. And actually get readings. So, and then also with your intention, like I intentionally, I've been doing this for a few years with a lot of practice, right? So you can actually create the direction of energy to go out through your hand into that wire that I grabbed onto the speaker to make it squeal like that.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting. You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of the evil emperor of Star Wars with the lightning bolts coming out of his hands, you know? Like,
something, something, something dark side. Something, something, something complete.
Perfect Star Wars dialogue, you know?
May the power be with you.
I was just thinking about this recently, actually. Is the Force and the dark side actually based on reality? Is it possible for human beings to to learn through extraordinary training and things of that nature, maybe to have certain abilities that may be similar to that.
I believe so, because we live in a relative universe. What's the opposite of the dark side? It's the light side. You can't have one without the other. And it's all about intention. It's the same energy that kills you as well as heals you. It's the same energy. It's all in the intention of the user. That's my belief. And I have friends that are in the martial arts from the Orient, and they actually teach you on some of I don't know the name of the art form, but they actually teach you to kill people because it's actually the same energy on how to heal people. It's all in the intention, and it's all in how you exhibit that intent, or you flow with that intention.
Well, if that's the case, then simply our intention in and of themselves, it creates energy, power, right?
Exactly.
So if your intention is to do bad, does that actually have an energetic effect maybe on people around you, or maybe your pets or something of that nature?
Absolutely. And there was a scientist from China, I forget the guy's name, is about water, is it Myodo or something, and where they put the intention into water where you're intending to do evil or negative, and then they froze the water, they looked at the crystals, and then they put the intention of love and peace and harmony and healing into water, and then they compared the frozen crystals, and there was a significant difference in the structure of the crystals when after they were frozen from the water. The love and healing and the positive intentions in the water, the crystals looked extremely beautiful, and the geometry was really pretty and crystalline and bright colored. And the other water that had the negative evil, if you want to call it evil, intentions into it, or disharmony, they were formed all, really disformed, colored, darker colored. There was a significant difference. That's all with just your thought or your intention. So there's a tangible result to that. You walk into a room, sometimes you ever feel like you almost repelled from a certain person or a group of people, and you're all of a sudden you can feel magnetically drawn over here. I need to go talk to this person or this group. It's the same difference. We're just like the positive and negative of a magnet. We have the same capabilities.
Now, I was just thinking about this. I was talking with my friend Dan and his Mrs. Tiff last night about the intention behind my show. It's not to wake people up. Okay, I don't believe it's actually possible to wake somebody up. Nobody forced me to sit down and watch 160 documentaries in 3 months to have a categoric and geometric expansion in my knowledge of the world in order to facilitate myself waking up. Nobody did that. I did that to myself. And so thus, I don't believe that it's even possible for me to even go out and try and wake people up. However, once I was woken up, I found that it was incredibly traumatic. And I had to find some kind of a coping mechanism in order to deal with such information about scumbaggery and the New World Order or evil in general, whatever you really want to call it. And the intention of the show is to let you, the listener, know that you're not alone, because that's one of the most horrible things that I felt. When I woke up, and I was the only one who woke up within my circle of friends, is I felt really alone. And after doing this radio show, I realized, oh, my God, I'm not alone at all. There's actually truthers and stuff everywhere just down the road from me and that kind of thing. And I was just linking up with people left, right, and center. It was amazing. And the second part of the show is to make you laugh, have a few cackles, have a few chuckles. I think there's an inherent energy within laughter that strengthens you and makes you I'm not sure what to say. It makes you calmer. It makes you more relaxed. It makes you happier. And in so doing, it replicates that positive energy.
I believe that too. Oh yeah, absolutely. Because when you're there's two emotions. You're either in the love emotion or the fear emotion. And when you're this laughter that you're talking about actually causes the endocrine system in the body to release happy hormones, if you want to call them that, or if you ever heard of a runner's high, endorphins that actually have a euphoric feeling in your body if you really focus in on that. And when you're negative, you have all the stressor hormones being produced, and therefore it shreds your digestion and it causes upheaval inside your body, and you can't sleep and so forth. And when it's your choice, it's really Dr. Bruce Lipton's been talking about this for years, about the biology of belief. And if you haven't seen any of his videos, you really need to look at those, because how we believe really creates our reality. That's how powerful we are. People just have no idea about this for the most part. I mean, I talk to people all the time. As I ask them, you know you're creating your own reality by being a grumpy bag like you are? Well, just turn your belief around. Let's be a little happy, because that's my coping mechanism, is, kind of making a little bit of fun. Because if I didn't, because I've known about all this crap going on since about 1978. There's a fine line. You can go either way when you know a lot of what's going on, and choosing to not let it get you down is very important. I mean, otherwise I'd be a mass murderer, or you'd be like not able to cope with the negative side of things. I believe we need to be more on the lighter side of things to keep the balance, because there's too many people that are way negative, and there's a lot of people now waking up realizing, oh no, look at all this stuff going on. But in reality, it's been going on forever, just like you said before. You just didn't see it because you were living in a box.
Yeah, and you know what? Aristotle and all of these great Greek philosophers were debating 2,000 years ago. They were debating human nature and what makes us tick and all of that kind of stuff. You know what? We're still busy debating 2,000 years later. Yeah. You know, it's my conclusion that you can't figure out human beings just in general. We're so complex that it's not possible for any human being to fully comprehend it. However, there are many things that you can gain understandings of, right? Like being afraid of stuff all the time, being alone all the time, being angry all the time ain't good for you. You know, very, very simple, basic realizations, I feel, have actually been the most powerful realizations throughout history. Keeping people in racially oppressive regimes isn't nice. Okay, so let's not have apartheid in South Africa. You know, that kind of thing. That's what is really strange about the human race. Although we're infinitely complex, it's the realizations that are so simple that are really the most profound.
There's a book called Biology of Aggression. If you haven't read that, it's basically saying telling what's going on today, keeping everybody at odds with each other, whether you're a man or a woman, or you're a Catholic or you're a Protestant, or you're a Republican or a Democrat, or you're a European or an African, a black, a white, a red, a blue. It's keeping this constant division. And my own analogy is, if I cut you and I cut me, we both leak red fluid. So we're all the same, and I call humanity as humanity. And I've been hearing this more and more from other people, that we're all human. We're all born on our home, the planet. So stop fighting. If everyone would just allow this simple fact that we're being controlled, societally engineered, if we would just stop all this nonsense and start embracing our humanity and our love for being alive on this planet, that group consciousness would change in overnight.
But there's a dualistic capacity within us, I've found, is we're capable of great compassion and great violence. And that's the choice we all have to make.
Very true.
I choose to be very compassionate, very empathetic, but also, it's to a limited point, don't you think? You know how the old saying is, you can't solve everybody's problems? And you see a lot of people out there with huge quantities of problems of their own, trying to solve everybody else's problems, and just sinking deeper and deeper into their own social quicksand. I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing a nice thing. Yeah, but bro, your life is messed up. All right, you're really unhealthy. You're really stressed out. You're really angry because you're helping everybody and they ain't helping you. You're not getting any reciprocation back on it. You know, keep your own house clean before you go out and start helping others clean theirs.
Yeah, that was an old saying. My grandmother used to say, you know, sweep your own doorstep first. Absolutely.
So can I ask you, what actually got you into this field of research in terms of body electrics? We've only got really about a minute or two for you to expand on it.
Oh, well.
Before the break comes.
Okay. How about 20 years of being very ill, unhappy? And I tried to leave here a couple times. It didn't work. And I was left with, now what? And a Native American friend of mine gave me a glass of tea that tasted really foul, but it took my asthma problems away. And I've never been able to breathe like that all in a matter of an hour after drinking this glass of tea. And that was the open door.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing, man.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about this. I was telling my friend about this yesterday. My friend took a fall, a good 3-meter fall, landed on his head. Miraculously didn't crack his skull, no permanent damage or anything like that, just 3 stitches and he's away laughing. and like quite literally, because if I'm your friend and you're in hospital, I'm sitting there cracking jokes most of the time, you know, making you laugh, the Patch Adams method. And what was interesting is I took personal responsibility to be there sort of protecting him while he was in hospital because I knew that they'd try and push something on you. And he's one of those kind of people who can easily be pushed into things, you know, isn't really right. Aggressively defensive. So they tried to blood test him, which he didn't want. They tried to give him a tetanus vaccine, which he didn't want. And they tried to irradiate his skull using a machine, which he didn't want. So after taking a 3-meter fall and landing on your head, taking a liter of blood, giving you a live avian flu, a virus of some description, and bathing you in radiation is the mainstream medical way of doing things, right? No, thank you. No, thank you. When you put it like that, it makes a lot more sense, I think. All right, we're going into break now. So, I think the lesson that you can really take away from all this, ladies and gentlemen, is that your thoughts and your intentions are actually really quite powerful. And also, if you're trying to fix yourself, sometimes the people who are offering to fix you are the ones who will damage you most.
Amen.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back, folks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Rockefeller Foundation elevator music. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We're talking with my very special guest, Will Spencer from BodyElectrician.com. And apparently you have another website as well you were mentioning over the break?
Yeah, VibrantBees.com, which we've been 2 years solid now with reversing colony collapse disorder with the beekeepers that are using our products.
How interesting.
So I've taken
have you expanded into New Zealand at all? Because we have a massive beekeeping culture here, and I think my uncle actually was one of the pioneers of the bee industry here, and he got me to volunteer for a bit for him on one of his beekeeping farms, and I saw firsthand the collapse of all the colonies, all these you know, there's like a box that's full of bees, like completely full of bees, just jam-packed. And then there's like 10 that are dead, like just absolutely dead. There's maybe a few bee skeletons left, and there's a mouse living inside it. Or a cockroach or something.
Right.
It was extraordinary.
I'm looking to expand. We just, last week, were at the American Beekeeping Federation yearly conference, which is the second large event that we've been to with our product. We're just getting into the, we got the research and development down. We're ready to, we're marketing now. So we're doing it grassroots. So it's all about, you know, networking and getting right to the beekeepers themselves. I tried at the top. The United States Department of Agriculture basically laughed at me 4 years ago. Several scientists and researchers in the industrial, military, educational divisions in the universities laughed at me, tried to steal some of my formulas, and I determined that that wasn't the best. So I backstepped a little bit and got a couple of larger beekeepers to use my stuff and work out all the bugs over the last couple of years, and now we have success and we're rolling now. So this is where we're at now, is actually expanding our marketing now.
So exactly, do you know what's causing colony collapse? Because it's a big mystery, and I've heard theories as wide-ranging as cell phone towers disrupting the bees' kind of navigation system, so they can't find their way back to the hives, so they die out alone on the cold, and this varroa mite, like parasites or something like that. But nobody seems to be able to provide me a conclusive answer as yet.
Well, it's an accumulative effect. It's like all of the above kind of thing. You have the frequencies in the environment, the electrical smog. You have mineral deficiency and malformed protein in the pollen and in the nectar. You have pesticides. You have genetic modification. You have plants now that are genetically engineered to create pesticide in the pollen and in the nectar and inside the plant. So the bees then are bringing that crap back to the hive. It's their food source. So in these toxins are built right into the structure of their food. So in and of itself, you don't have a problem. But it comes back to the hive. And as you know, you've got 60,000 bees all bringing back just a little bit. And then you have this accumulative effect. So all of a sudden, one day, they all wake up going, holy buckets, it's really toxic in here. And now what? They all leave. So the electrical smog, the toxins in their environment, and the malnutrition food all leads to the inability to reproduce right, their homing instincts are compromised, their inability to keep their house clean because they're constantly bringing in more toxic elements. So it's this accumulative effect. Not everybody is experiencing this, I find out. The beekeepers that are away from agriculture, you know, I should say, away from the genetically modified conventional agriculture and pesticide use, they're off all by themselves. Like, I have a couple beekeepers that are solely in the woods. They have a 10-mile buffer around all their beehive yards. They don't have hardly any problems at all. And, of course, they're not feeding, you know, genetically modified high fructose corn syrup. And they're doing things that are, you know, like, we keep our bees like that. We actually feed honey and pollen back to them. We never experienced any of that problem. The only problem we had this year was bear. We had a bear get into a hive and tear some hives apart, and that was our problem. So we didn't have any of the other bacterial or mites, because a healthy bee is like a healthy person. It repels the pesticides, the pathogens and the parasites. It's only when you get unhealthy or that you almost attract the diseases or the pathogens in the pair. They're there for a reason. Nature has a recycling event that takes place continually. If you're like a tree in the forest, as it begins to die, there'll be funguses start to grow on it. You see the toadstools and other things that start to grow on a tree. It's not dead yet, but it's ill and it's on its way out. And then it falls over. And then there's more of the bacterias and funguses that grow on it, and it breaks it down and recycles it for another life. We're no different. We're like moving trees. We're just, society is so unhealthy. I don't care if you're in New Zealand or if you're here in America or Europe. we have an epidemic of unhealthy. And so we're attracting all these pathogens and parasites as a result of the unhealthiness, because nature wants to recycle the stuff that's not healthy. So when you become healthy, you don't get these problems. They just go away. That's been my job. I took it upon myself to have this job, is to figure out what's making you healthy, what it takes to make you healthy. And that's what I've done, and we've been doing it for quite a few years, and it works very well.
Well, see, there's also the other concerns. I don't know if you saw the kids' film B-Movie, starring Jerry Seinfeld, but one of the premises of it is that the bees had a revolt against humanity because they believed that humanity was enslaving them in order to get their honey and stuff like that, and they had a strike, a bee strike, global bee strike, and as a result of the strike, everything that was plant-based on the planet died, essentially, because without the bees pollinating everything, you got nothing.
Well, that is one of the other contributing factors, at least here in this country, is the moving of the bees around, the enslaving, if you will, because they put them on trucks, like 500 of them at a time, and they move them thousands of miles. So we're going to do, you know, we're going to go do the almonds, and then we're going to do apples, and then we're going to come over here and do blueberries, and they don't get to rest. You know, I mean, that's hard on them. They don't get to actually have a rest cycle, or, you know, they don't get to rest. They're just continually going and going and going, and their work environment is extremely toxic. So, you know, I mean, that's part of the problem too. It's just living and working in that unnatural environment like that.
Now, you're talking about coming back to what we started with, was about the human body and how it's electric and what have you. Does this extend to all living things? Is every living creature, insect to grizzly bear, an electric being too?
Absolutely. Everything has its own resonant frequency, even a rock. Minerals have a specific frequency, everything. That's why we were talking during the break. You noticed our the tab on our website, GSR Hand Scanner. That's actually a fairly new device that we've been using. And we're looking at up to 30,000 different frequencies. All the microorganisms have their own frequency, pathogens, parasites, petrochemicals, heavy metals. All your organs, your genes, your in your body all have different frequencies. Everything has its own resonant frequency. And when you can identify them, which the machinery we have today, we're able to capture and identify, and then we put that into a computer program that we can actually backfeed like sonar in through your hand into your body, which is 1950s technology, lie detector technology, and then pull back like sonar, just the depth perception, a response, a stress response, and the computer program is able to digest this information and give us back results on what's stressing your body and to what degree, and then what to do about it. And we mail these scanners all over the planet, literally. I mean, from Japan to Australia to Europe to all over this country, and we're able to bring healthcare to you. That's what we've done with modern technology, yet based in old principles of how the body works, but on an electrical diagnostic level, if you will. It's fantastic. It's far more sensitive and more accurate than allopathic culturing things in a dish and all this other archaic stuff in allopathic medicine. I mean, it's you can't even compare the accuracy we have versus allopathic medicine nowadays.
Well, I see so many forms of what they call alternative treatments, and I don't like the word alternative for some reason. It makes it sound kooky or whatever. I'll tell you what's the real alternative. Okay, I'm a healthy person who suddenly discovers that hey, I'm actually not as healthy as I thought, and so I will pump my body full of copious quantities of massive toxins in chemotherapy that's produced by a mega death corporation that has shares in the oil cartels in order to make me better. That is the alternative to anything that's sane, in my opinion.
I'm catching my breath. I love it. I mean, how much truer is it? We are a natural body and a being that comes from the earth, and yet we're going to take synthesized synthetic compounds that have actually, my family used to have trucks and we would deliver things. And you would have to have a special license to haul pharmaceutical chemicals. You actually had to have a hazmat endorsement on your license, which is a special license to handle hazardous material that is actually going into the pharmaceutical drugs. So you're putting hazardous material into your body and calling it healthcare. Like you said, I say that's insanity.
Yeah.
Is
it allopathic? Or is it psychopathic? Or is it sociopathic? It's something pathic, that's for damn sure.
I'll just say, I'll check the box that says E, all of the above, because it's all of that. I mean, you have to be, you know, insane, really, to think that putting a chemical into your body is going to make you something like better.
Mm.
And we're a natural being. We're no different than a tree, really. We have elements, amino acids and minerals that make me up or that make you up. And you're going to put uranium-235 in you thinking that that's going to help. Hello.
Yeah. And you were talking about how even a rock has its own resonating frequency. And I was going to make a joke saying that after all the depleted uranium shells, now a rock has its own frequency.
Yeah.
By the way, do you know what Iraqis give their wives on Valentine's Day? What kind of flower?
No.
Depleted geraniums.
Only on the Vinnie Eastman show.
Eastwood show.
Eastwood, you know,
as in go, Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news.
Make my day. Awesome.
It's pretty rough, actually. And it was interesting that you said earlier as well, you have to look on the lighter side. I mean, the tagline of the show is the lighter side of genocide. And it's just like things are really, really crazy. And I offend people constantly because I think I'm almost as crazy as the world is. The problem is I'm not a dangerous form of psychopathic crazy. I'm a happy-go-lucky look on the bright side kind of crazy, which I think is a good form. I mean, to be what is it to be sane in this world? Okay, I want to go to university, be educated by people who don't know what the hell they're talking about, go get a job with people who don't give a frack about me in order to sell people products that damage them in order to buy a house that's actually still owned by the government or the banks or something of that nature. That's sane, okay? But for somebody like me, who's elected to serve humanity, somebody like yourself, who's elected to do the greater good, regardless of the consequence, simply because it is the right thing to do and we can't live with the alternative, we're the ones who are nuts, apparently.
Yeah, so that's a relative definition there. I mean, who's really nuts? It's all in the perception or it's all in the belief, like we were talking about before. My belief is I'm doing the right thing. I think the psychopaths and their belief think they're really doing the right thing too. Ask one of them. They really think that they're, you know, like injecting chemicals into your body is doing the right thing. They think, you know, that, you know, having these Fukushimas and all this other stuff, I mean, that's the right thing. I mean, that's, I really believe that. So, I mean, who's right and who's wrong? I mean, I'm not one to say. I just know what I'm doing.
Mm-mm. Well, I think we do have this this ability to discern truth from fiction in a way that much of the establishment educated people don't. For instance, they try to teach what's known as critical thinking, and I'm doing air quotes here, to people in university. And I've interpreted that after I got a D on one of my essays criticizing television with source notes and all of the reading materials supporting my argument, and they gave me a D minus or whatever for it, and it dawned on me, these people aren't teaching critical thinking at all. They're teaching people to be critical of those who can think. And that's the real problem here. is that if you can be happy, if you can live life without destroying things, suddenly you don't fit the mold. And we're going to give you low marks and degrade you in so doing. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. We're final segment here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And my very special guest, awesome guest, Will Spencer. Actually, it's kind of unsurprising. I knew he'd be pretty awesome. Most of the people that you bring on the show are. And in fact, that's something that I've noticed, Will, is that in this movement, particularly in this format on talk radio and stuff like that, you barely ever get to talk to people who are douchebags. You know, they just get purged from your life as soon as you decide to do things that are important and speak about things that really matter and do the right thing, because it's its own web of sort of like it puts up a wall, right? And you and I and people like us who are into what I call just reality-based thinking, the wall has been put us, and that kind of seals us off socially in a lot of ways from the rest of society, to the point where we've created almost a fortress of solitude that indeed protects us. And I believe in some cases it might not be such a good thing, because we become myopic if we only talk with people who agree with us. And we were talking over the break about how you got a gun pulled on you because you were trying to refuse hospital service or something like that. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, a while ago when my youngest son was born, this is before I knew a lot of stuff about health and whatnot. He was having breathing problems, so I went to the hospital. It was like midnight, and they at the emergency room, and they pulled out all their things, what they were going to do, and I was looking at them, and I'm going, what? You're going to put this in my son? I said, this is industrial waste. So I picked my son up, and I headed to the door down the elevator and whatnot, and by the time I got to the door, there was a deputy standing there. And he had his hand on his gun. And I said, would you please step aside, please, because I need to go home. I have to figure out what I'm going to do with my son here. He says, no, you may go, but your son cannot. You came through these doors. It's like you're resisting care because you came through the door, so therefore you consented to whatever's going to happen in here. And you can leave, but your son can't. I says, no, you don't understand. You're in my way. Please move. I'm leaving. And he pulled his gun out, and he didn't point it directly at me at that particular point, but he had his hand, he pulled it out, and he goes, no, you don't understand. Leave your son if you're going to leave. And I said, well, what's the problem? He goes, there's actually laws here in this country, and this is a while ago, it would be child abuse. There's actually a whole list of laws. He spewed it off that basically I would be endangering my son by refusing their care.
It is illegal for any doctor anywhere to force somebody to take any treatment against their will.
You made a very good point there. The doctor is not the guy with the gun. The guy with the gun has a different set of rules. There's a line. There's a division there. You see, it's an oxymoron, or it's insanity. But the guy with the gun, there are certain rules. The doctor has a certain rules, and then there's this gray area. I could leave. My son could not, because I consented to whatever because I walked through that door. You see,
This reminds me of my Facebook status yesterday. Check this. Apparently, it's illegal to be part of a criminal gang. And I've got the link to the law in New Zealand legislation about how it's illegal to be part of a criminal gang. It's also illegal to enslave anyone using debt slavery or otherwise. And I've got the link to that as well. And then I said, I wonder if the police, government, or bankers have been made aware of this legislation.
Yeah, we live in so similar societies. It's the same here.
That's amazing. Why they call it a new world order. You know, name me a country that's exempt from the definition.
Let's create our own. That's all. It's, you know, that's what I want. Let's just create our own. I'm tired of that game. Let's just make another game.
Yeah. I mean, like we said at the beginning of the show, you know, how do you win a rigged game? It's to cheat or just not to play. Kind of like the movie War Games. Have you ever seen that with Matthew Broderick? No. Is this an artificially intelligent computer who thinks that this war game is real, and it's running through scenarios of how you can make a nuclear war between the US or Russia successful? And it does all these scenarios and this kind of thing, and it's doing these scenarios sort of in real time, like if it wins the war game, it's actually going to start the nuclear war. And even the machine realized that nuclear war is a strange game. The only way to win is not to play.
Yeah.
And for somebody like me, it's actually quite a profound realization. There's so many things that we have to learn how to withdraw from. We've got to replace the water we drink. We've got to replace the air that we breathe. We've got to replace the food that we eat that have all been contaminated. And in many cases, we have to replace the institutions that we live under. And we have to replace the servants within those institutions. Making a better world doesn't incorporate the old world that created the problems that we're currently dealing with. The people who created those problems, their mentality will not solve any of the problems that they made. It's time to start again. I say it's like a computer. It's time to press the reset button. It's obviously fully infected with a virus. You know, there ain't no way it's going to correct itself. Let's start again.
You should be a preacher.
I am.
Yeah, I
by proxy, you know. Hey, I've been down to the mountaintop, and I have seen the end of scumbaggery. I may not be there at the end with you.
Yeah, that's just what we're doing with healthcare, because it's we're actually helping people so they can be healthy again, rather than, you know, different degrees of illness and that they call health. Because, you know, just because you're not expressing symptoms, or, you know, you're not having something that's infected, pussing up and ready to fall off, they can't name it a disease or whatever. That's not, you know, that's not health. Vibrant health is something that's, you know, you don't even need that stuff. And unfortunately, today in this country anyhow, and I know your country is going down that road too, that our food chain is so, you know, we can't sustain just on food anymore. You have to supplement. It's inevitable. And that's really the basis of what we do here, is to help people get in that healthy state, because healthy people can think differently. Their free thinking is just like, it's a byproduct of being healthy. And you don't get sick. The pathogens don't cause you problems. So it's like you say, it's a different way of thinking.
Mm. Well, there's those who believe that we currently live in a toxic environment, and in my opinion, it's a multifaceted toxic environment. So you're toxified from the head down, basically. You know. Your brain's full of toxic information. Your mouth is full of toxic fillings. Your food's toxic. Your water's toxic. The clothing that you wear is toxic. The air that you breathe. Everything. And, you know, you could get really depressed if you were to think about all the problems going out there. But if you solve problems, no matter how small they are, one little step at a time, you manage to stave off that real depressing reality, and actually, eventually, get rid of that reality and change it for the better. And I think people have forgotten that we really are capable of changing all this stuff just by making it happen. Like you said, you know, the intention is the thing that gives out the energy. If our intention is pure, I don't think there's anything that can stop our power.
I agree with that. Not at all. It's just like the Star Wars, you know, the Force be with you. Really.
Mm. All right. Like Yoda said, ladies and gentlemen,
try not. Do or do not. There is no try.
Amen.
It's time to stop messing around. Okay? Stop feeling the fear. Stop feeling the anger and the rage and all of that kind of stuff. I don't know. If you're not feeling good, try something different and see if something changes. See if you feel better. And if the thing that you changed didn't make you feel better, try something else. You know, if at first you don't succeed, try and try again. It matters not. And I found that there's so many eclectic different areas of research, and you yourself personally. I mean, look at his website, ladies and gentlemen, bodyelectrician.com. There's things in there about fungal connections, GMOs and GEs, electrical systems, a GSR hand scanner, healthy diet, information and media, chelation therapy, and all of these kind of things. Unless we're capable of drawing from many, many, many different sources and disciplines of information and research, I don't think that we're ever really going to gain a deeper understanding of the way the world really works. And without a deeper understanding, there ain't really going to be any meaningful change, I don't think. Will Spencer, thank you very much for coming on the show today, man. It's been my honor and pleasure and various other nice adjectives.
Thank you very much, Vinny. Absolutely. I mean, we'll do it again, I'm sure.
Yeah, indeed. I'll talk to you just after the show and reschedule to come on again for a good 2 hours next time, I think. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in. Just remember, tomorrow, the January the 20th, is the chemtrail protest both in Auckland and Hamilton at the top of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and the top of GorillaMedia.co.nz are the details for those protests. Hope you're there, and I also hope you subscribe for a dollar or something a month to help me keep doing what I'm doing. We'll see you again sometime.